Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back with Luke and Pete Shaw. It is a Thursday. Are you ready for an email about defragmenting a hard drive? We're ready to give it to you. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. How the devil are you, Luke Moore?
Very well, thank you. You have to earn the right to hear that email, though. So you've got to go through the first half of the show to get past the ad break to then hear the defrag special.
Yeah, because what we'll do is you can't just skip forward with you plus 30 seconds or plus 15 seconds because in the middle of the defrag chat, I'll just shout random stuff. Duck, missile silo, grass. Yeah. That's it. And you'll be confused. Yeah. You'll never find it. All right. Okay. Do you remember like video games back in the day where you'd buy them and there'd be like some kind of copy protection inside? There'd be like a map you had to sort of follow, or like a lens based little puzzle you had to solve. And it was paper based, so you would prove that you hadn't just copied it off a friend, because these paper things were really hard to photocopy.
Yeah, I don't really understand what the point of that was.
Well, it was so if somebody. Somebody just, tape to tape copied the data from one video game tape to another, or a disc or a CD, whatever. You wouldn't have the paper version of the thing. And if you tried to photocopy the paper version, it was too complicated and it wouldn't copy properly because of the colors. It would often ruin the experience for any games players who had the arrogance to be colorblind, so they couldn't play any of the games.
I remember going when some games you had to load up and then you had to go and it would give you a grid reference. You had to correspond it with a piece of paper and type in the code, or you can.
Or there'd be a manual kind of check where it would sort of go, all right, paragraph 5, page 7, word 2, tell me what that word is and stuff, and you type it in. And it was very tedious, but you'd get in eventually.
Earlier you mentioned the phrase missile silo.
Mm.
Have you ever seen a missile silo?
I mean, isn't it just a blank kind of bit of waste ground that they've put a lot of missiles in the ground? I don't know. What do you mean?
I can't really picture what it would look like.
Right. Okay. So, I presume it would just be a lot of aircraft hangars, wouldn't it? And underground. I mean, presumably some of them will be kept underground as well, no?
Yeah. When I was working at the bank call center.
Sometimes very much like a missile silo. You're correct.
Well, sometimes you'd have to do a Saturday shift.
I see where you're going with this.
Sometimes you'd have to do a Saturday shift and there'd be no managers in it. It'd be boring. So you try and squeeze in like little phrases to the calls that came in, or you would transfer calls just to your mate's mobile phone just for a laugh. And at one point, I remember a man cracking, like completely cracking, because I asked him, he said his card wasn't working. And I said, have you been close to any secret military facilities that could have wiped your card? And he's sort of screaming, how would I fucking know if it's fucking secret? That's what that reminded me of. Did you know, by the way, a completely random interruption to this chat, changing trends completely. I saw a news article that said, and the headline was, scientists finally discover why wombat poo comes out in cubes. Right.
Right.
Did you know that wombat poo was cube shaped?
I think I did. It's a soft kind of cube, though, isn't it? It's like an old Remagel. Do you remember those little sweets?
Yeah, it's exactly like a brown Remagel, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
amazing, because what's happened is over time, because they lived traditionally, I don't know if they still do, they traditionally lived on hillsides, right?
Mm.
And they wanted to mark out territory by taking shits everywhere, as we all do, you know. And apparently, evolutionarily speaking, the more square the turd, the less chances got of rolling down the hill.
Rolling so it's a down
much
the
more
hill,
effective
right.
territory marker. So in the lower intestine, they got this bit of their lower intestine where they can make the poo more cube-shaped. Isn't that remarkable?
It's remarkable because it's a leg of kind of an animal incrementally improving its life that just seems so kind of like, all right, you've marked your territory, your poo's rolled off the hill, so the more cubey ones, the more cubey wombats are the ones who have maintained their position alive, effectively. Out of all of the things that they could wish for, I think they probably could have wished for big tusks or something. I think they would have preferred having wings or something. You know what I mean? Could we have just have had like really sharp? Could we be poisonous? Could we be poisonous to birds or whatever's going to eat us?
Imagine
unbelievable.
It. Imagine like God coming down saying, "Don't worry, wombats, got something for you. You're going to be fine."
Oh, do you brilliant. Like Lego?
What is it? What is it? Is it like massive claws with poison tips? No, not really. All right, go and take a shit. Notice anything funny? It's so underwhelming.
Also, it really is underwhelming.
If evolution is true and it's not the strongest or the fastest or the cleverest
it's
animals that survive, it's the animals that are most adaptive to change. How do dads exist?
What do you mean? As in they're quite...
Dads hate change.
They do hate change. They don't like anything that changes.
No, you can't change the furniture around in your dad's living room. It'd go mental.
No, thermostats, pronouns, they are very much one rule. One rule must stay the same forever because their whole worldview will just go out the window and they'll have a terrible
time.
As
you said once before, Pete, why can dads know everything there is to know about different types of tanks but not understand pronouns?
Yeah. Whenever you tweet like a really softball bit of political commentary, loose, very loosely termed.
AKA Donaldson special, a little Pete Donaldson special.
You're bloody rich coming from you, Sunshine. I've seen your output.
Mine aren't softballs, are they? Mine are quite abrasive.
But you really can just write the simplest platitude and it'll get retweeted a bazillion times. Although I can work on a little funny video featuring a footballer or something and it gets retweeted by two people. I can work all night at that. But Tories are bad, retweet a million times.
My take on that, though, Pete, is that you regularly fall at the final hurdle. There'll be some kind of detail that you'll have missed and it'll fuck it up. And it'll be something like, you'll do it all night and then you'll link to the wrong video in your tweet or something.
Yeah, then you just delete it and then put it up again. Yeah, no, I agree. I just don't understand why simple political platitudes get retweeted more than any other. There was a guy, I can't remember. Oh, he's just a nasty little conservative politician in America. And
Virgin.
And he was going on about masks. He's going, "How many masks you got to wear now? 2? 10? 100? And he's got massive fucking ears because he used to be a wrestler. And he's got big cauliflower ears. And I wrote back where you've probably hung a few of your fucking plates.
I
just deleted it. I'm
you?
Like, what a shame in a man's ears for doing a bit of wrestling. You what?
You've bottled that.
Bottled that. Massively
you
bottled
like
it.
You like wrestling as well?
I do like wrestling. Not the kind of, you know, crotch-grabby kind of floor wrestling that you feature in the Olympics. It's the larger-than-life steroid-infused hell men. That's what I like.
That's true. And I also think that on the kind of... the current generation of those blokes who are most of them they're certainly under the age of 30. Mm. They're very right wing in a kind of, I want to be controversial for the sake of it kind of way. You're kind of Lawrence Foxes, but younger, those types. You get them in the UK, you get them in the US.
Yeah.
And there is not one of them that wouldn't be instantly cured of their mad neuroses and
if they were handsome.
Idiot leanings. If they just had full transitive sex once. That's all that needs to happen, right? Listen, as men, we've all been there. you know, you have some pretty strongly held ideas about things, and then you grow up a bit. What happens is generally one of two things, right?
Mm.
A woman or a man pays you some kind of sexual attention, and that relieves quite a lot of the tension. You've realized that you've now entered adulthood, as you were. You know, it's a tradition as old as the hills, right? Or a bigger boy punches you in the face, right? If you don't have one of those two things happening, preferably both, at some point in your adolescence, you turn into someone like that Paul Watson guy, or Charlie Kirk, and all those types. They just need to calm down a bit, get a bit of release of some tension in some way, and they probably weren't paid attention by their parents at some point either. That just needs to be sorted and everything will be fine.
Yeah, but I mean, women or men have to have sex with them.
That's the problem.
It's very much like the virgins that are promised to terrorists. So, like, they didn't ask to be part of this shit. I've got sex with a terrorist have I? I've got sex with John Paul, whatever his fucking name is. Oh, brilliant, cool. Just to stop him being a cunt.
No one's thought of that, have they? Hang on a minute, I'm a reward now, am I? I'm a reward for someone.
Brilliant.
What? Oh, yeah.
So hang on, I'm a virgin. I've in this faith system that I found myself in, I've kept myself so-called pure and perfect. I happen to find myself dead, and now I've got to have sex with with the terrorist. Or if I'm alive, I've got to have sex with a fascist. Unbelievable.
It's like in Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he redoes his vows with Cheryl, and they have a big bust up because she wants him to say that they'll be in love and married forever, and he says, "No, I'm not committing to after death. I'll give it to you till death. I'm not committing to after that because we don't know what's happening after that." So, you know, and there's a big argument about it. It's a bit like that.
Oh Lord, I've got a bit of I'm starting to get a bit of a tickly cough. Uh oh, everyone.
It's not great. It's not great.
It's buying that Chinese on Saturday, I'll tell you what. But don't worry, Luke. I've got on my finger, can you see it?
Yes, I can.
Little pulse oximeter.
Is that blood pressure?
No, I've got a blood pressure thing because I found out that, you know, my granddad had a heart attack when he was 50, which I didn't know about. I thought I'll keep on top of my blood pressure. It's heading in the wrong direction. Let's make that very clear. But I bought a little pulse oximeter. Oximeter?
Yeah.
You can find out how much oxygen you've got in your blood, because obviously that's a thing that when it gets very low, you've got to think about ringing the 999s.
It's got to be 95% or higher, isn't it?
Well, it seems that's what I mean. So any lower than 95, you're starting to get into a bit of trouble. It just seems like that 95 is a very high standard to hit.
I've got a Garmin watch, and mine's the same, and I looked into it. And it said that this particular measure is very useful for if you are exercising at altitude or going mountain climbing or something. It gives you a good idea of when you're going to start to suffer from altitude sickness and stuff. But if it goes below 95, you want to really be making an appointment at the hospital. And I just ended up turning it off because it just stressed me out, which then meant, ironically, my Garmin measurement for stress went really high. And I started to get – and I wasn't sleeping. And that fucked the sleep bit up, and I had to kind of turn it off. So what's your saying on your oximeter? What's that saying?
Well, I'm 98, and doctors who – I mean, imagine if any doctors listen, but I'm fairly certain of health professionals do. But I'm fairly certain that because it's a LED light that's putting light through your finger, it's better done when you're not in front of very, very, changeable lights. So I think doing it in front of a computer monitor is probably not a great thing to do. But, fascinating little gadget. And I imagine there's a lot of variation in quality from the different ones. But the BBC, I think, recommended that it's not a bad thing to have in your back pocket. Of course, with any we talked about this before, with any technological advance and certainly consumer electronics, they test it on very, very few people, or they test it on a very certain amount of people. Apparently, these pulse oximeters, not great for black people. Their skin has a bit more pigment in it, and it can't fire the light through the finger. So it's not as accurate as it is on Caucasians, which is just another example of the world just being a fucking nightmare for a lot of people.
That's really poor. But for accuracy of data generally, because I did some research into this before I bought my watch, it's best to wear it while you sleep. That's when right. you get the best data, because like yeah. I think it's able to much more accurately assess what's happening because you're not doing anything else.
So, yeah, and you're not moving around and the light's not changing. It's kind of yeah. one thing. And I guess like with oxygen in your blood, it probably goes way down when you're asleep, because you're not breathing in
you don't
any
know
way.
That. You are breathing when you sleep. That's definitely happening.
I'm fairly certain you don't breathe when you sleep. No, I mean like you don't breathe as strongly. You're kind of very relaxed.
But you're still oxygenating your blood, aren't you?
Yeah, but you're not going... That's how I breathe
depends,
during the day.
That's what you're doing.
Because I'm constantly... So I'm constantly angry at the things I see. I'm just constantly angry. Yeah. It's the only time I get off from being angry.
The one thing that has concerned me about the old Garmin is that it measures your different type of sleep. Now, I don't think it's that accurate, actually. I think my assessment of the watch, and it is a very good watch, it's a Vivo Active 4S for those that are interested.
Oh, gone off your big submarine watch you had.
No, I wear that for special occasions.
Oh.
But it's too bulky to wear every day.
Yeah.
Same way, all I ever do is wear tracksuit bottoms now. I don't really wear a big watch.
It's like a tin of tuna on your arm.
It is a bit. And yeah. And but I was going to say, the Garmin's good, but I think for stress levels and for sleep, it's kind of interesting on one level, but I don't think it's that accurate. And the reason I right. say that is because the other day, on Sunday, I was sat down, Mimi had gone out for a walk, and I was sat down on my own. I thought, you know what, I'm going to put a record on, right? And I put a record on my record player and sat in the living room doing nothing else, just listening to an album that I like. And about half an hour into it, I got an alert on my watch saying, take a break. You seem very stressed at the moment. I was like, ironically, this is the least stressed I've been in about 6 months. So,
yeah, well, surely, I mean, listening to music, it gives you something, doesn't it? It makes you excitable, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. To. Maybe it can be misrepresented as stress. But and the other thing that's quite ironic about it is that I've started to, it's the way the brain works is fascinating, because so on the sleep measure, it says that I get quite a good amount of sleep, but a lot of my sleep is light sleep or REM sleep. And it also measures, so it measures three stages of sleep, light, REM, and deep sleep, right? Yeah.
Right.
And you're supposed to get, I average, I think about an hour and a half deep sleep a night. And I only ever really get about half an hour, which in turn, now I know that fact, has made me feel more tired.
More.
Yeah. But I didn't know that. I felt absolutely fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So but it's made it worse.
My partner a couple of days ago, asleep, just suddenly announces, wake me up. Just asks me to wake up. She gets this thing where she's locked in, where she's awake, but she can't move her limbs and she can't
Awful.
Wake up properly. Horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, but she went, wake me up. I was like, what?
It's like, that's weird.
I'm not doing that. This seems like a trap. Yeah. But she was insisting that I woke her up. And so I've decided I'm just going to wake her up every morning just by being fucking loud. So
yeah. Do you have in your house, do you have lists of things that aren't, that can't be done while the other person's still asleep?
No, but we are both in the house recording things for broadcast. So apparently I'm not very fleet of finger when it comes to typing, and
and
especially when I'm doing a podcast, I'm rather shouty,
which
sometimes can be heard on Absolute Radio if you listen very carefully. But then the dogs get involved and start screaming anyway, so it's fine.
Oh, true, actually, yeah. So you've got dogs, so it might be a bit different. So our house, if the other person isn't asleep, it is understood that the person who's awake will not empty the dishwasher or Hoover.
Oh yeah, I mean that's fair. I mean that's standard stuff.
So.
I mean I find the whole I love being quiet. I love getting up before other people, and I love kind of like trying to be as quiet as I can. But the problem with like living in a house that's older than 1 year old is that the floor's constantly creaking. It's really loud.
House
really
noises are crazy, don't you think? There's not enough made of house noises.
Our boiler goes ooh yeah. when it's working. It just goes ooh,
house,
but like whistles.
House noises are fucking crazy. I hear so much ooh. Shit when I'm lying in bed and everyone's asleep. I wake up randomly at 2 a.m. Everyone's asleep in the block and or the terrace, and you still hear mad stuff that you could convince. Yeah. I understand it's evolutionary because obviously it's more beneficial for you to suspect that it's something bad. So it kind of gets you on edge. But I mean, the amount of noises that houses make are fucking crazy, in my opinion.
No, but my partner also thinks that, like, she leaves the door open because she thinks someone's coming upstairs to get her. And I just think I spend a lot of time with people who have done a lot of shit in their life that they're scared someone's going to get them for. If I'm in bed, I'm like, leave the door open, close the door, I don't care. I've not done anything bad enough for someone to chase me with a big knife. So if it happens, I'll be annoyed, but I know it wasn't anything personal.
Played the numbers game and you lost. That's just unfortunate. But surely if someone's after you, you want to close all the doors, no?
Yeah, but it's only going to slow them down briefly. I can't lock myself in every door, can I? Especially when the dog wants to go in and out. So
that's true. And have you still got access to the dogs? How
still
is the
access to the dogs? Yeah, dogs fine. One of them is very into waking up every hour. I mean, very into that caper, and just sort of going for a poo or a wee in the garden. It's
Do you have to get up and let him out?
Yeah, because you can't. There's a lot of dog nappings happening at the moment. You can't just be leaving dogs to wander around the garden willy-nilly.
Right.
You know, people are in lockdown and people want dogs. There's a lot of people. You'll probably notice it around your area. People are getting new puppies and stuff, but it seems to be happening quite a lot around here as well. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, cats sort of roll around, don't they? Yeah, you could. I would always assume that cats would be, like, chipped better than dogs. I don't know why.
They've got microchips in them,
Yeah, and... There's a new dog over
the
road.
Deep state, isn't it? It's the deep state.
Deep state, mate.
It's 5G.
It's the space laser. There's a dog that's arrived over the road, a new puppy, an unbelievably adorable little kind of sausage dog looking thing. And it's called Jaeger. And I really want to ask whether it's named after Chuck Yeager, the late fighter pilot, or Yeager Bob.
Died recently. Which is it?
Can't tell which. I think it might be the former. It has to be, surely. It has to be.
Speaking of space lasers, I saw a really funny news headline the other day. It was actually in Vanity Fair, which is a publication you mentioned on Monday. It reminded me of it as well. This headline's brilliant. Listen to this. Republicans can't believe Democrats don't want to work with them just because of the guns and the death threats and the congresswoman who thinks Jews started the California wildfires with space lasers.
that woman's in particular is astonishing. She's an amazing piece of
work. That woman, if she was living in medieval times, they wouldn't let her milk a fucking cow. Let's make that absolutely clear. She would not be out of anyone's sight at any point. How on earth she's an elected representative of the people it beggars belief.
Somebody did tweet a thing sort of going, like the Republicans going, oh, we're being censored for our views. Oh, what? The you know, small government, like limited taxation, and going, nah, not them views.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The other ones.
I also like the guy who made a complete prick of himself to the point of where a publishing company, a private enterprise, no longer wanted to publish his book, so he launched a massive campaign against First Amendment of the Constitution. Mate, I don't think that covers like private company publishing houses, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. I mean, for goodness sake, it's absolutely it's like someone busting into this show now, us telling them they couldn't be on the show, and them saying, well, this is a freedom of speech issue.
Censorship.
It's not. Start your own podcast if you want. Pay to publish your own book. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, lordy.
Anyway, let's have a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do a couple more emails, because I've got
we'll
that
do one email
one
about defragment.
Yeah, exactly. See you in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week at Sukarnov.
Over at Self Care Club, wellness road tested, Lauren and Nicole discussed intuitive eating and rebelling against diet culture.
Actually, I'm really proud of myself that I did that because it was hard and it was bloody brave to actually stand up and say, you know what? I choose my life. I choose to have quality of life. I choose to be two dress sizes bigger and much fucking happier for it.
For even more great content, there's also a brand new episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, who sat down with Borussia Mönchengladbach's assistant manager, René Maric. He talked through his journey from a football blogger to coaching one of the most exciting football teams in Europe.
You always focus on the next game and you focus on every opponent, no matter which competition and the level of the opposition. You always focus on each opposition the same in terms of investment of time and resources.
All that and a whole lot more. At Sukarnov.
All right, so Luke and Pete at Defrag Show. Top tips on how to defragment your magnetic hard drive platters. Luke, yeah. I'm joined by the main defrag daddy, Luke Moore, and he's going to tell you about a man defragging his hard drive.
I'm very much the student. Like Simon, who's emailed in to hello@lukeandpeacher.com, is very much the Yoda in this situation.
Right, okay.
And yeah, I am a very early Luke Skywalker. We're on Dagobah. Is it Dagobah? I get confused.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, without further ado, the most eagerly anticipated email in Luke and Pete Show history is here. Mm. And Simon, I'll let him pick up the story. He says, chaps, it's rare I can contribute anything approaching usefulness to your show, but on the subject of defragmenting, aka defragging hard drives, I finally feel like I can. Here we go. Older hard drives are made of spinning platters of metal with a head that moves across it to read or write data as the platter spins underneath it. When a file is written to disk, the operating system needs to figure out where on the disk to place the data, and very often, especially after prolonged use, the disk gets quite fragmented, meaning there isn't a block of contiguous space big enough to fit the entire file in, so the files are broken up, aka fragmented, and written on different parts of the platter. This means when a file needs to be read, the head has to physically move around, making the file read quite slow. Defragmenting is when the operating system reorganizes the disk so that all files are stored contiguously to make the reading faster. Jump forward to modern solid-state drives, and there is no head and accessing any part of a disc happens in the same amount of time. So, for example, you could read or write the first and last blocks on the disc in the same time as two adjacent blocks. This means it doesn't matter if the files are fragmented anymore, so there's no point doing any defragmentation. Note that the type of read where the disc is required to read from an arbitrary location is called random access, hence the term random access memory, or RAM. Hope this is enlightening, if not a little dull. Cheers, lads. Keep up the good work, Simon. Now, that is the kind of contribution we actively endorse and encourage on this show. I feel like I've learned something today, Peter.
Yeah, all right. I'll take that one. If you've ever seen, like, a hard drive, like, spinning up and reading data, like, that's been... Because, obviously, the hard drive has to be protected from the elements, dust and wind and rain. And have you ever seen one kind of, like, doing its business, its dirty hard drive business, without the shielding off the top of it? It does its thing so quickly and so efficiently and finds the right spot on the platter so quickly and efficiently. It's like you always say about technology and stuff, like magic. It's exactly the same as what I imagine magic to be.
Yeah,
I do not know
imagine.
How computers do it so quickly, figure out precisely which bit of data it needs and go to that precise bit at that speed. 5,300 revolutions per minute. It's incredibly quick.
How do people even invent that? And also, we haven't even started talking about quantum computing yet, partly because we can't, because I don't understand it.
But maybe we are. In a different world, we are.
Yeah, probably. It's all happening at some point in the space-time continuum. But so quantum computers can do millions and millions of things like that, but at the same time, right?
Yeah, but surely you're bottlenecked by the rest of the physical space. If you're writing that data to disk...
Maybe Simon can help us with this.
Exactly, yeah.
Or is he
look,
limited
if, you,
just
if you're going
to
give us the 3D space that we're in now.
I love the idea that Simon only... The only thing Simon knows is this. Like, he doesn't know anything
the only
else.
Thing, yeah.
And we should also include... Before we go, we should also include some new battery brands, Peter. Big Chief Wild on Twitter sent in a Mustang. That's not a new player.
No.
Simon James sent in. I tell you what, this might actually be a new player entering the game. Have we had a judo battery before?
Oh no, I don't think we have. Actually, I think I'd remember that.
Okay,
does it come in a little kind of a little judo suit?
No, that'd be amazing if it did. Sadly, not.
That.
It's not got a little black belt wrapped around it. judo is a new player that's entered the game. Congratulations to you, Simon. Another Simon with technology. Yeah. It's all going off. And Jake Johnson sent in Warriors. The Warriors are not a new player, sadly. But thank you very much for sending them in. I can see from the picture they are made in China. They have Warriors written on them and they are gold. But I've seen them before. That is not a new player entering the game, I'm sorry to say.
Warriors. Yeah, thank you for
Come
all your batteries. Excellent stuff.
That's enough. That's it. Get us out of it, Pete. Take it away.
Take it away. My hard drive platter is spinning down. I do kind of like look at like the you know the guy talking about like defragmenting hard drives and stuff. That's kind of how my brain is operating at the moment.
It's probably a good analogy.
Yeah. How do we get defrag? Maybe we could sort of start some kind of wellness, possibly yoga based kind of system or scheme, and get a little special on Netflix about. I don't know, social defragmentation or brain defragmentation, ordering your thoughts.
How do you reckon that's all about? How do you reckon that like knowledge and memory and stuff is actually printed onto your brain? How do you think the recall of that actually works? So there's so many different types. There's like memory. There's like things that you can do automatically. So for example, you never think about the fact that your heart's constantly beating, right? Or that you're blinking, or that you're breathing.
Yeah.
But your brain's having to do that for you. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to know the difference between that and then something that's been learned, like, for example, driving a car or flying a plane or doing an equation, which has been learned and been printed onto your brain somehow, and how that differs from the automatic kind of involuntary stuff, you know?
Mm. Do we know anybody who – I was reading a piece about people who had lobotomies – Do we know anyone who's had such an invasive, barbaric thing? Because they still did versions of them up until like the 90s. It's one of those things where you sort of think that it was done in like, you know, the 60s and they stopped. They didn't. It was going on for a very, very long time. And there are people still alive who feel like they don't want anyone to know about the fact that they were lobotomized when they were younger, and all of these sort of mental illnesses and mental compulsions that doctors decided they could get rid of just by literally just fucking hooking a bit of fucking cells out of the front of the lobe, temporal lobe, isn't it? Through the eyeball. There will be people that are walking among us who have had these barbaric operations done on them. And I'd love to sort of hear from someone's experience.
So I recommend the book, The Psychopath Test by John Ronson. He talks about not just lobotomy, but also electroconvulsive therapy.
Electroshock therapy, yeah.
Yeah, which is another.
Lou Reed had it, didn't he?
So say again?
Lou Reed had it, didn't he?
Did he really? I didn't know that. Yeah, okay, so yeah, those kind of things are more prevalent than you think. I mean, I don't know quite how late they went on in America, but they went on quite late. I mean, later than perhaps people would be comfortable to admit. So
yeah,
absolutely horrendous stuff. But I mean, crazy.
We've got the point where we're asking if any of our listeners have had lobotomies. That's a question we ask every week, I would say, when we look at the email box.
In a different way. That's offensive, Peter, actually.
Oh,
you started
what
off
very
sensitively, and now you've actually reduced it to the gutter. I'm disappointed in that.
I'm going in with a hook. That's what I'm doing. Right, let's get out of here. This has been the Luke and Peter Show. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back on Monday for more of this trash and dross. If you want to get in touch with the show, do so. Email us. That's the easiest way to do it. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. That's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Luke, we've got an Instagram and everything, haven't we?
Yeah, @lukeandpeteshow is the Instagram. There's extra content. There's little animations that look very good. They make Pete and I look very handsome. They don't make us look as old as we actually are.
Yeah.
And it's a nice place on. Do you know what, actually? Having said all that, it's just a nice place on the internet. And those places are few and far between these days. It's very wholesome.
Exactly.
Very fun. So go and follow @lukeandpeteshow on Instagram as well. And as Pete says, we'll see you on Monday and we hope you have a lovely weekend.
All right. Peace out. See ya.
Part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.